We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody, to the Friday RotoWire Two-Start Podcast. Sitting in for Clay. Well, I'm not sitting in for Clay Link. I'm taking over the driver's seat for Clay Link with my guest co-host, Tristan Cockcroft from ESPN.
How you doing, Todd?
All right. I got to play a little music that Clay taught me how to play, and we'll be right back. That's smooth. All right.
If I can't sing, I got an air guitar to it.
Yeah, I know. I can't sing. I got my tonsils, not tonsils out, my wisdom teeth out. I couldn't sing before that. So that's what's the old joke? Doc, if after I have this operation, can I play the piano? Well, I don't see why not. Well, I couldn't play it before the operation. Anyway, so.
Classic Simpsons episode two. So, all right. Yeah, you're right up my alley today.
There we go. I couldn't sing before. I can't sing now. Anyway. We had a lot to talk about, not sing about. I'm glad you could join me today. Clay's away, seeing some, doing some family stuff, which we keep, you know, family first. Love that. Love that we can fill in for someone taking some family duties. So, well, we're going to do a two-star pitching. We're going to wait a little bit for that. What we are going to talk about, Earl, we kind of talked about it off air a little bit or alluded to it. I sent out a tweet this week, and I said, if you have a draft starting now, who's your number one pick? And only 60% of the respondents listed Acuña. I mean, would you, if you had a draft, if we were doing a draft this weekend that started Monday, the league, would you still be taking Acuña number one?
Probably, because I'm such a slave to that stick to your preseason projections. I'll be honest with you, Todd, though. Mookie Betts, the guy we talked about, has made a pretty compelling case, especially picking back up the shortstop eligibility in our leagues. So
yeah, I think he's at 30%, and Juan Soto was at 10%. And I think
Ellie De La Cruz?
No.
I'm surprised.
He's number one right now. I put in three choices, and then the fourth was, you know, nominate someone and put him in the reply, and Bobby Witt got a vote. So, Ellie De La Cruz is interesting. I'm going to do a first-round draft with Eric Halterman on the MLB Network show for tomorrow. And what Eric and I are going to do is we're going to do a draft. One of the segments is going to be just doing a draft back and forth. Curious to see which one of us jumps on the Ellie De La Cruz bandwagon. We shall see. But De La Cruz is doing the stolen bases through the roof, right, and homers. Did you see Tango Tiger's tweet about Ellie De La Cruz and how just terrible his splits are as a switch hitter?
I did not see that one.
Yeah, obviously you're familiar with Tango Tiger, yep. Tom Tango. So do the search. It's remarkable how, even as a keeping the platoon edge as a switch hitter, how terrible he is against lefties. And maybe going the Cedric Mullins route of giving up switch hitting. It's just, I just found that to be a little fascinating about how just The splits are just silly bad. Which
Todd, not good news for my sim team. And every time I remind myself I wouldn't take Ellie close to number one if I was doing a draft straight, I'm using last year's stats in that sim league, and it reminds me of how often the guy strikes out. It's good to know about the split.
Yeah, no, it's scary. Not this isn't to say. I mean, there's a reason you switch it, right? You can't, you know, you as a lefty, maybe even worse. Who's to say? But and it's not. This isn't to say he's going to change. It was just, you know, Tango Tiger, who's what? This era's Bill James on steroids or something. I don't know how you want to put it. But, you know, he's kind of the go-to guy for this sort of thing. And like I said, it's more informational, fascinating than it is, I'm going to change a ranking or anything like that. But anyway. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, I kind of gave you a quick heads up. Curious on your take on this, just because we come from a similar background of thinking or whatever. My tout table question this week. Oh, I just said the tout table. Yes, it's mine. The tout table question this week was about in-season management and balancing the desire to have enough information to make a decision versus just jumping the gun on it or doing it, small sample decision, and or if I don't make the move, somebody else will. I'm going to constrain it with you a little bit, though. Mm-hmm. I know AL and NL only, it's what's available. I mean, who cares, right?
Yes.
And 10-team leagues, mixed leagues, your roster designed to churn. I mean, in an ESPN 10-team mixed league, if I was doing it, I'd only have three starters, which were on my team all year. And the rest of them I'd be churning. So you're built for it. It's like in these, we're both in 15-team mixed tout. How do you balance wanting information on a hot start, a minor leaguer, Ronel Blanco, or someone like that, versus I don't believe in streaks. I'm not going to pick them up.
And we've saddled you with Ronel Blanco on the weekend again. You've seen, I think, all of his starts.
Mexico City. Oh, I should have been wearing a sombrero. I have a golden sombrero from Little League.
But... Oh, I've got one somewhere. Yeah, I probably do too, actually. No, I don't know. I was a walker and strikeout guy. I was two true outcomes, walks and strikeouts.
Okay.
To the question, yeah. Since, you know, I dodged it, I guess, on the tout table I did here because I didn't think my answer was all that exciting. I let my roster dictate it. I know the pieces that I put in order in the preseason, and if I have a problem at a specific position or category, that's usually where I make the move for the hot starting player. I'm not as worried about my competition, at least not in the first 3 weeks. We're at that stage now where I'd probably make some more dramatic changes, but I tend to let my roster's needs dictate it. I'm not going to make rash moves and, you know, let significant guys I invested in the preseason go for a brief hot starter. The only exception to that is really what's different about the player. Has something changed? And if it's a pickup for you, is it something for the positive? And if it's somebody on your roster, and Todd, you know as well as I do with labor, where we have to keep our players we rostered in the lineup. We can't take them out unless they get injured or demoted. We got to make those decisions about that terrible pitcher who's just killing my ERA and whip. When do we let him go? When do we just cut bait, let him go? If I see something that's changed for the worse, that helps me guide that decision too.
That makes sense. I mean, we'll use the name Louis Varland for the Twins did me a favor in several leagues by sending him down there. You know, you can make a move at that point, but maybe it's, you know, all right. Some people are naming a specific stat they look at that mm-hmm. they feel is more applicable in a small sample. And I think there are, but I think people are trying to force one of these stats into something that it's not. We have all this information now. We have to use it. No, mm-hmm. we don't. It's still not applicable. Looking at the spin rates and the velocities and everything that StatCast gives us, the one that really gets me is people start to talk about stability points at this time of the year, which is not what people think they are. And that's what kind of bugs me more than anything is that you see, I made this move because of strikeouts are stable after 60 plate appearances. No, they're not, right? They're Within that 60, the luck skills 50-50. Mm-hmm. But the next 60 isn't necessarily the same as the previous 60. And that people, I used to think this. I wrote a piece for ESPN 10 years ago. I found the holy grail for rest of season statistics. I then had to say, guys, can we take that down? I didn't say that. But it was like, I hope that doesn't show up on Google anymore because it's not good.
You know, the toughest part of what we do, I think I've written this before too, is that we are making judgments on, you know, we complain about small samples. We rail on them all the time. Don't lean too much into small samples. We have to make decisions on small samples. It's the only way you're successful in fantasy sports is that you've got to make decisions on it. So why, what, how? Cutter Crawford. Yeah. Todd, you know as well as me, Cutter Crawford, when I watch him, new pitch, there's a reason for you to believe in what he's doing so far. Kevin Gausman, velocity's down. I mean, Gausman, it's kind of weird. I'm throwing a top name out there as somebody who concerns me, but the stuff is very clearly looking at the metrics, not quite so good. Those are the stories we need to be talking about. Guys who are, you know, just off to an inexplicable hot start. Blanco himself, I'm not quite convinced yet. I like your Varland point. The changes I'd make are Louis Varland. The other is Brady Singer was a big guy of mine in the preseason.
Oh, yeah.
You want to, and I mean, we're beyond that point now, but if you had wanted to in the past 10 days make that swap, yeah, sure, because they were pretty close for me in the preseason in the first place.
Right. The Brady Singer, I think we both talked about in that last year he was stubborn. His bullpen coach was from Cleveland. His manager was from Tampa, a couple of organizations that are good with pitching, but yet he didn't heed to their suggestions until the end, and he carried him over, and he's a new guy. Now, Singer's the type of guy where I believe in these guys, and I say, you know what, I should, like Varland, I should have him on my bench for the first couple of weeks to see if I'm right. But then I'm scared, what if I was right, and they're on my bench? So I ruined some team's ERAs that I was wrong, and I have a couple that I was right, and you know, but it's just kind of, it's frustrating that Brad Keller was one previously that I, you know, let's sit him, but you know, live and learn, as it were. Let's see what we have. Do we have questions in the chat? McGill better than Adam Savale? Well, if we're talking, we got two McGills, one's a starter, is that Jason Adam? Was McGill better than Jason Adam because they're both secondary closers? What's Milwaukee doing to us? I love the fact they're stealing, but Pat Murphy is driving us nuts with his closing situation.
Yep. We're back to where we were 3 years ago, where they're going to have 14 different guys, not just save for them.
I mean, I think we both probably decided that, well, Uribe's no longer the closer. Piamps, he's the guy. Except for yesterday when it was McGill. If it's Aaron Savale, Aaron Savale, it's interesting how he's keeping his strikeout rate up with Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Neither McGill, by the way, is better than Aaron Savale.
Right. Well, that is true. But if he's thinking about Adam as the relievers, because Tampa's doing the same thing with Poche and Clevenger, and now Jason Adam, all mixing in the to me, the best thing to do with those guys is the ESPN type leagues. We have daily moves Monday and Thursday, just double and triple down on one team's relievers, get a hold and a save, you know, try to do that. That's, to me, I don't know what else.
Yes.
That's the way to do it, I think, anyway. But
and use the closer chart, which has the most fatigue relievers little highlighted there. You know which ones not to use. Those are the bullpens to target.
he's talking about. We've got on RotoWire, we have the chart. But what we're doing on a daily basis is looking at recent usage and rating who might not be available. And I think it's on a daily league, it's invaluable. It's just so cool to pick up a couple points leagues. You just double down and you get both a hold and a save. If that's what the league's requirements are. And it's not in the insider part, right? It's linked to our daily notes, which is free, which is nice.
Definitely something to check out. We'll always have which Brewer relief pitcher is ready. Todd, I never asked you about who you were behind in the Brewers. McGill was my guy in the preseason before the injury. They're all very good pitchers. Piamps is the one I thought had the highest floor, lowest ceiling of the bunch. Abner Uribe is probably the future, but he's got, I always have that fear of the who's the new Rex Brothers. So I didn't really invest much in Abner Uribe unless he was a reserve pick in my drafts. But McGill was very interesting. Got to keep an eye on him.
I think it's hard. I mean, who I thought Milwaukee would choose was Piamps, but
that's who I thought too.
It was the strikeout rate that I didn't love. And you just put yourself up for vulnerability if you're not striking guys out as the closer.
Mm-hmm.
And even two seasons of 55 innings isn't enough. That's half a season of a starter. And you can't judge half a season of a starter. Well, at this point, it's three quarters of a season of a starter. But it's still not enough. Relievers can just go, one bad outing. I thought it was Piamps for now. You're ready for the future. And McGill was the... I think he had the better skills, but I just wasn't sure which way Pat Murphy's going to go. And we still don't know.
Yeah. So
who's going to get the next save? We're not sure.
Piamps, probably.
Probably.
I'm just saying McGill's one of the ultimate stashes to me right now. That's kind of where I'm going with that.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. So let's see. Any other? Do we have a couple more questions real quick? Simon Woods Richardson, is this year's Bailey Ober? Not everyone hated on Ober.
Yeah,
not everyone.
I know someone who didn't.
I know someone that didn't. I like Woods Richardson's context with Minnesota. I do think Minnesota's starting to show the ability to handle and manage pitching a little bit. Kansas City, Tampa. I think there's some teams that are starting to show that they're able to handle some pitching. So interested in Woods Richardson, and they don't have Dallas Keuchel this year. Who's with Seattle now, right?
Oh, jeez. He signed with somebody. I don't even remember.
Was it Seattle? Yeah, but I just was mad last year that both Ober and Varland were like shunned in August for Dallas Keuchel.
They're trying to boost the VORP of their current rotation members.
Yeah, anyway. So we got quick comment about Sedan Rafaela or Wilbur Abreu. Wow.
Oh, that's right up your alley.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm more impressed. I think William Bray will be the better offensive choice, but I think Rafael's got the upside. He can little power, he can run, and it looks like Boston's going to leave him at shortstop and let Grissom just play second base based upon what they've been doing with Grissom in the minors on the rehab. He's been playing more second base. That makes sense. I mean, that's the future. Why weaken the infield even more by having Grissom move back and forth? I think, and then your shortstop there, Anthony Volpe, is impressing me every day.
He's been pretty good defensively. It's quite a contrast between those two teams.
Yeah,
I mean, in Boston, it's defense, schmefense, but I like both of those guys, Rafaela and Abreu. I think they've both got their value. They both deserve to start somewhere in time, not necessarily right now. Rafaela needs to adjust to big league pitching. And once he gets the hit tool down at the major league level, I think he's going to be a pretty darn good player.
No, I agree. But Volpe, you've seen almost every game, if not every game. The narrative in the preseason was he was looking for more contact.
Yep.
And maybe at the sacrificing power. But a lot of times what you see is once you learn that skill, you then can know when to turn on a ball and put it out. So that's what I'm hoping with Volpe. He's my score sheet team. So I traded Jackson Holliday even up for Anthony Volpe. So I'm kind of hoping whatever Holliday does is fine. It was my choice. But he did score sheet. So I think Volpe defensively and other reasons it's not as bad of a deal as it may sound to people out there right now. But I'd like to think that Volpe will not completely sacrifice power, that he's a good enough a player that he'll learn when he can turn on the ball and know when just to put it the other way.
Not entirely sure it matters in Yankee Stadium. I mean, he made the swing path change in the preseason. Very, very small, slight tweak. I sometimes think with things like that, it gives players greater confidence, and that alone helps. The other is that the park plays well, that even if you're doing the air quote sacrificing power, if you put it in the air with good contact in Yankee Stadium, good things can happen. And that's even true for right-handed hitters. It's great for lefties. It's still a plus park for right-handed hitters too. I'm pro Volpe. The only reason I'd pump the brakes on him is just did cool a little bit over the course of the summer. It's possible he's starting to build up one of those hot starting players who cools a little bit over the summer months. We'll see. It's just year two.
No, that's true. And you're talking about it's still plus for right-handed hitters. This is where park factors get a little bit shaky in that the Yankees have got a couple of right-handed guys that can take advantage of the short porch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that skews the numbers for those that can't. So, I mean, it's one of the reasons why park factors are three-year averages and they don't apply to everybody linearly. But you can't include Stanton. When I did the study, Stanton was hitting homers. He's no longer contributing to this. But it does get affected a little bit because the righties have, you know, the right-handed park factor takes into consideration that you can go opposite way a little easier too.
Just say it, Todd. Aaron Judge has some of the best opposite field power in the game. We all know it.
Oh, absolutely does. And when
he's just got to start showing it this year.
Right. What was the joke when the Mets were doing reconfiguring right field? And they said it was for aesthetic reasons. No, it was because Aaron Judge is a free agent. And this is right field. It wasn't left field. But anyway, I did need to satisfy our sponsors. So I get to fumble through a couple of reads. No, I'm going to do them. Going to do them well. So hang in with me, Tristan, and we'll get to some two-star pitchings in a moment. But first, I'd like to tell you some about Vivid Seats. Finally, baseball is back. This MLB season, knock it out of the park with Vivid Seats and score great tickets to the biggest games of the year. Every fastball, every home run, every eye-popping play of your favorite team, live and in person. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, you earn rewards with every single purchase. Buy 10 tickets, then cash in your credit towards your free 11th ticket. Talk about an easy win. And here's a pro reward tip. When buying tickets for your whole group, split the bill and make progress towards your free 11th ticket even faster. From behind the dugout to the upper deck, Vivid Seats has great tickets for all 2024 games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. See vividstreets.com/rewards for terms and conditions. Now a little bit from our sponsor, Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. You pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. What I like about Prize Picks personally is the research we do for DFS or daily play. I'm kind of projecting strikeouts. I'm projecting total bases. And that's what the Prize Picks is all about. So it kind of goes hand in hand. I think it's kind of fun that I get to use my research for a couple of different things. It's fun that way. There's quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. No, toggle down, not up. Download the app today and use Rotopod, 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 for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code ROTOPOD for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. I guess, remember when you were reading, learning how to read, and I'm never going to know how to do this. Well, that was trigonometry. I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess we do have to learn how to read. But anyway, so I'll be doing my prize picks this evening once I figure out who's actually pitching tonight with some of these.
It'd be great if we didn't have, you know, a daily scratch due to an elbow issue, wouldn't it?
Oh, gosh. Jesus was out of this morning, and there's history there. You know, there's always something to be concerned about, but there's some history with Lizardo. He's off to kind of a slow start, too, and hopefully it just turns out to be nothing but, you know. I mean,
fastball wasn't so hot either, to my point about checking if anything's different. Mm.
Yeah, you talked about Kevin Gausman earlier. Velocity's down, but the splitter isn't. I don't do the pitch modeling like Eno Saris does. Some of those like the next level analysis. I can just look at the results, the WOBA and the swing strike, and his changeup, Gausman's changeup, just isn't as effective. And that's his bread and butter. He came out and said, I'm 88 to 98. Don't worry about my velocity.
Well, that was after the 91 game against the Yankees.
Yeah.
I remember that one. If he doesn't have the fastball, he can't use the splitter. The splitter has no effectiveness. Hitters are ready for it.
Right.
That's his biggest issue. It was like Tanaka back in his prime days.
Right. No, exactly. And so they say the splitter's not effective. It may not just be the splitter's not effective, like you're saying. It could be the fastball as well. And that was down a tick. And it's another one of these. You probably have the same folder. It's on my desktop labeled, yeah, right, like you'll ever do this. Something tells me this is already out there.
That's but this I think folder, right? This-
yeah, yeah. I think going from like 98 to 97 or 97 to 96 isn't as detrimental as going like from 94 to 93 or 93 to 92, because the league average is like 92 to 94. So if you fall into the league average, I think it hurts you more than if you just lose a mile. Maybe intuitive, but I like to look at numbers too.
I didn't extensively look at this, but about 5 to 8 years ago, I checked that, and it was around 92 and a half where you saw a distinct change in the split.
And that's pretty much league average, right?
I mean, yep. So I think the league average is over that now. That's what I'm saying 5 to 8 years ago. I should reevaluate that now.
The point, it's once you're like everybody else, it's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. People they're used to it. All right. So what we're going to do, folks, is what Clay and I usually do is we're going to evaluate two start pitchers. But what I'm going to ask Tristan when I'm the second guy, but what Tristan does is he ranks the two start, but we ranks everybody for ESPN, but it's in points formats.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we forget that 3 out of 4 players play points. And I know that maybe 3 out of 4 that are listening to us or using our information maybe don't, but 3 out of 4 play. You know, sometimes we don't get not so much recognition, but the attention. So if we're going to rank 5 by 5, but if some of the guys you feel, just point out when someone's better for points or, you know, something like that. We kind of add a little something to the information. All right. So, these are subject to change, everybody.
They are? No, they're all set in cement. Come on.
Do the best we can. You do the, you know, we update our stuff every day because there are changes every day for next week. And it's frustrating. But when we set our lineups on Monday, all we can do is go on the information that's available. It's all you can do. So that's what we're doing now. It's a little early. Some of these are subject to change. Well, I mean, some of these are not even subject to change, but just kind of guesses. But we'll go through them.
Subject to injury replacement. Yep.
Oh, gotcha. And how many times we just wanted to give the, and especially now, we just want to give them an extra day. There were more starts on 5 days rest last year than there were on 4. It wasn't a ton more, but there were more. Yeah. I don't think we can no longer write standard 4 days rest in our piece. You got to get rid of standard.
I'm noticing that any team that has a young pitcher on an innings cap, Pittsburgh, I'm looking at you, is shifting towards 6 starters when it's 6 days in a row.
And with the schedule the way it is, you can still get 32 starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can still get 32 starts. That's why Michaelis went 34 last year, because he didn't skip any days and was able to get 2 extra starts. I'm not sure that's a good thing for Miles Michaelis. But anyway, all right, so let's start with Arizona. We've got right now, we have Tommy Henry, start with an easy one, versus home against the Dodgers and home against San Diego. We go 0 to 5. And
oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember the ratings game.
Yeah. We go 0 to 5. And I think we actually had a couple negative ones this year. And I gave Tanner Houck a 6 one day, but we go 0 to 5. And a loose way of thinking about it doesn't have to be exact is if you're in 5 leagues, how many would you start this guy?
If I'm in 5 leagues, I'd
start
him in
5
0.
Leagues, how many would, you know, would you start him in 0 or all 5?
I'd start him in 0. He's the lowest ranked guy. He's the lowest projected guy by the forecaster this week.
Henry's pretty easy.
You know why? Because the first is the Dodgers, and that alone.
Yeah, and even with a soft bottom four in their lineup, it's scary. It's scary.
When that's the chance you're only going to get that start, especially, it's a zero.
Right. We talk about that, too, is you have to, when you make these decisions, the second start is not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. How many times he's like, I ranked Tyler Glass now number one last week because he was going to get two starts. I think 3 weeks in a row, and he finally got him. But anyway, Atlanta, Max Fried on the road against Seattle and on the road against the Dodgers.
There's a guy where Roto and point scoring is going to deviate just a little bit. He's going to be more attractive, I think, in Roto than he is in points for this particular set of matchups. I'll give him a four here because we're talking the 5x5. I might do the same for points, but I might do four and change and four minus change in the point scoring.
A little bit, as you know, depends on the format.
Yeah.
Points, which is why one of the reasons why points doesn't get the attention is because there's so many different scoring formats. It's not uniform. And I think what you're referring to is the chance of getting negative against the Dodgers, for instance, where some sites you lose more for hits, more for runs relative to other sites, and innings and strikeouts don't count as much. So I think it's you want me to rank a guy in points, it's like which system you're going to use. And then by the time we get done rattling up the points, you know, move to the next caller, and it doesn't work out so well. I'm giving him a four. I think Fried's a five pitcher, and he looked good his last time out.
Yep.
But I guess I'm just one more time. I'm starting him.
The weird thing with this is that bad strikeout matchup and great strikeout matchup.
Yeah.
And he's not really a strikeout guy.
Right. Seattle, I haven't checked that they strike out a little bit less than they did early. Not by much.
They're still top three easy in the league.
It's ugly. All right. That's because they faced the Red Sox that first series. Good Lord. Who's still left? All right. Grayson Rodriguez home against the Yankees at Cincinnati. And Dean Kramer has the same pair of matchups.
Yep. And there's the little question here about the John Means and Cal Bradish rehab patterns. They're not looking great. So I'd say right now, these two look pretty likely to make those starts. They did push Grayson back for rest. So just be a little cautious there. I will give Grayson a three in this one. There are a couple leagues in which I would not play him. Kramer's probably going to be about the same for me.
I'm admittedly aggressive, which is why I admittedly don't win as many leagues as I should. I'm still going to go with a four. And
on both?
Kramer, I'm going to go two.
Okay.
I'm kind of worrying with Gradish in that, you know, he's probably good, but I don't know that it's enough time yet. And last year I got burned with waiting too long to say, you know what, Kyle Bradish is actually pretty good. So the Red Sox have an off day. And, I mean, who knows if Cooper Criswell will get two starts, but he's home against the Giants. And he's at Minnesota. Now, and you may be the same way with Yankee Stadium. I sometimes, you know, having watched Fenway all these years, I sometimes forget that it's the second highest, you know, embellishers runs only next to Coors Field. I mean, maybe you are more in tune to that than, or, you know, I watch people pitch in Fenway Park all the time. So I've sometimes, I'm kind of immune to that. I just wonder how much other people take that into consideration.
You're absolutely correct. So when you mentioned, I'm thinking of in terms of target field, which is a little bit more hitting friendly than people think. But yes, Fenway's grading 7% over league average for runs.
And I sometimes forget or just don't think about it. I hear other people talk about, I don't want to start a guy in Fenway. I'm thinking the Red Sox aren't that good. No, it's the park.
You know why it is, right? For all the viewers, listeners, readers, et cetera, you know why it is.
Oh, it's the Babbitt. I mean, it's the Bucky Dents that those aren't Babbitt, but yeah, it's just the hits, and it's not just the wall, but the left fielder can play in and take away the little dunks,
and then right field is cavernous for his hits. Yeah. So
it's interesting. All right, Cooper Criswell home against San Francisco, at Minnesota.
He's a one for me.
Yeah, he's on a zero. I guess I'm gonna go I'm going to go one. Minnesota. So Korea's coming back. Kepler's back, you know, and hitting pretty well. So I guess we're going to match up with ones. Jameis and Taillon at the Mets and home against Milwaukee. And Javier Assad has the same pair.
He's going to be a 20 for me because I have him in my points league. No, I'm kidding. Taillon is that just middle of the road, average, every time kind of guy that I just can't think matchups that kind of don't matter to me. It's like three right down the middle. Don't feel any better. Don't feel any worse. I felt like that about him for years. I look at those matchups and I say, yeah, it's still a three.
I think Taillon's one, to me, he's like a knuckleballer in that you can't try to time him. You just have to leave him in there and accept what he's going to give you. If you try to get just the good starts, you may end up with a 4.5 ERA. Because I don't know that it's sometimes the opponent doesn't matter. I'm sort of glad you were with a three on Javier Assad. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Assad.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if I would be high with a three. I am liking what I'm seeing there.
Actually, yeah. I might be tempted to go a step further on Assad than I would on Taillon. One note on this one. Which was curious to me, based on it being a Citi Field start and the Mets here, and this is counting a projection for JD Martinez, that's graded a plus matchup, like a big time plus matchup in my projections. And that could help Assad with the upside.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, we just talked about Fenway and Coors Field. Citi Field is the best pitching park. I like Assad more than Taillon too, but I can't. Some matchups I'll go lower with Taillon, but like you said, it's just right in the middle. Nick Lodolo has got a road start with the Padres, then home against Baltimore.
Yep. He's been pretty good so far. Ugh. Yeah. I'm a little scared by the matchups. He's projected for what should be a four. I'm feeling three-ish. Just the gut talking there.
Yeah, no, you like when a guy's at home is an inherent skills advantage, but you don't like when home is a great American ballpark.
Right.
You know, you just don't. However, I mean, Baltimore can hit anybody, but there's enough left. Their better hitters are left-handed. So I'm going to stick with the four with Lodolo. I'm going to go four. Baltimore's just scary. Baltimore's just plain scary.
Yeah.
The Guardians. I didn't put a buck in the jar this week. I called them the Guardians.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, having gone to school there, and it's been doubly tough for me to not use that other word. All right. Carlos Carrasco is at Houston and home against the Angels.
He's pitched better than I could have expected this year.
I didn't talking think
to, talking to Sim, having him in a Sim league. I know a good friend of ours has him and he's getting absolutely destroyed based on last year's card. Houston stinks so far. So that might sell some people and it's in Houston. That's not, you know, that's bad for pull power for pitchers, but I think he's a two.
I didn't think he'd still be in the rotation at this point.
Neither did I.
You know, I nice
thought
story.
That was Kevin Williams' spot all the way.
And that there's been a setback there too, which isn't good. I understand Houston hasn't been good, but I think they will find a way. Maybe Mexico City is what they need. Who knows?
It's a battle of 19 lost teams, everybody. Yeah, exciting.
So how many times when we're doing our numbers, we get all, cheekers, I got to change my park factors. Wait, it was supposed to be Colorado. I guess I really don't have to change him and I won't be that far off. That was nice. Yeah. Like last year was like San Diego and the Giants. It was like they're both
what's interesting is if you take just the homers and everything else and flip them upside down, it works perfectly with Coors Field.
Okay.
It's going to be homer friendly, but not quite so absurd for extra base hits and runs.
Well, last year wasn't like a 16-11 one game, and the other one was like 6-4 or something like that.
Yep.
Well, but these are better. Well, air quote better offenses. We shall see.
Well, not the Rockies, but anyway.
Right. But they're still averaging five runs a game. at home. It's nuts. it's still Coors Field, 40% inflate, you know, runs inflation. It's still.
And yet no hit through five innings the other day.
Yeah. Well, last night they scored five runs or six runs in the eighth inning to come from behind.
Big comeback.
We probably won't be taking, even though they're really good matchup. Well, you know what? Maybe we do need to think about it because Ryan Feltner's at Miami and at Pittsburgh. And he's probably available. See, someone would pick up in a 15-team league. Do we pick him up to stream?
With guys like this, volume-based, he's probably making those starts. If Gomber pitches Sunday, it's highly likely to be a two-start week. You mentioned the Parks play favorably to him. The projections do say he's like a 2.5. There are worse places to go. I will tell you, I'm the guy who looked at a situation like this several years ago, Mark Hendrickson, and he got hurt in the first start, in the first inning, and I wasn't very happy about how it went. So you've been warned.
I could see. I mean, to me, this is a. I'm not hesitating. If there's a maximum innings or maximum game started, yeah. I'm hesitating in a points league. But otherwise, I mean, I'm not hesitating.
I've got a league where it's start. That's all you want. You just want starts. And yeah. our standard game is a lot like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go one. Even so, I mean, I'm still just gonna. I can see there's if I'm playing five leagues. I'm going to be moved to pick him up in one of them, I think, with these matchups. You know what? Before we go on, we'll take another quick break for our podcast sponsor, and we'll be back in just a second.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, back with Tristan Cockcroft, my friend and colleague from ESPN, to knock off the rest of these two-start rankings. Hoping Clay has a fun time away, spending some time with family this weekend. We'll be back next weekend. I think he's off doing draft coverage myself. I think he's undercover doing some draft coverage. Clay, who probably, you know, you know what? He is a football fan. I was going to say he can't even spell QB, but he can. That was our joke with him. Was he's off doing draft coverage?
Aren't we all at this time of year?
RotoWire and ESPN. We're both very stock full of people who can handle draft coverage.
Yeah,
that was weird. Me last night. I'm not used to turning the draft on like early to see who the Patriots take. It's a little bit odd. And then I you know, when are they going to trade down? Oh, wait, they's not there anymore. And I guess they was on the radio or TV, like, not liking the Patriots pick. But anyway, that's a that's a story for another day. All right, we got Garrett Crochet. No two-start pitching. The White Sox are going – well, actually, there's a good
chance
–
That's because of the right? Clevenger projected return,
right?
Which we don't know yet.
And we don't know if Jonathan Cannon will stay in the rotation. What do you do with Crochet? Three outstanding starts, then three not so outstanding starts.
Yeah, and so he gets the rematch outing here. Not a great outing against the Twins. And if you saw, I refreshed the data that last year repeat matchups did not go well in the slightest. This is if you're getting some sort of great reward for K's, okay. Otherwise, I'm probably like a straight three on him, maybe.
Right. Well, I mean, he's not. He's won't get this set, but yeah, he's someone that do you start him this week, and even in a single league, and I think it's tough. If nothing else, he's more of a global reminder. Let's not get too overboard on a hot start early in the season. We wanted to with Crochet because the narrative and the story is so fun, but
right.
we just need to. I would probably use him just because. That's another home matchup, but when home's Chicago, it's not so great. Kenta Maeda, of all the guys we could talk about in Detroit, it's Kenta Maeda, right?
Yeah.
Home against St. Louis and on the road against the Yankees. Theme to turn things around a little bit. Doesn't have the strikeouts yet, but at least the surface stats were palatable last time.
Yeah. And I'm still, I got a couple shares of him. I really thought he was going to have a solid year, certainly better than we've seen so far. And there's time, but I don't see these as great rebound matchups. It's probably two and change. I'm giving him a two here, in part because that Yankee matchup scares me a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for a minute, it looked like Giancarlo Stanton was going to start to make some noise. It seems to have gone the other way again. He was finally at a point where I thought the price was right to draft Stanton.
Yeah.
Because you're not married to it. And you could play the matchups. And that hasn't even worked out so far. So, anyway. Houston. Hunter Brown. Home against Cleveland. Home against Seattle. Not the worst. Because it is home.
He's been the worst.
Yeah. I mean, Cleveland, though, 5 runs a game. Another team, 5 runs a game. Wow.
There's some K's there because of that Mariners matchup, but I wasn't a Hunter Brown guy this year at all, just to be straight with you. I know it's easy to say it now, but he went for a price I wasn't comfortable with, and I haven't seen enough in the metrics to suggest that the breakthrough is imminent. It certainly doesn't look like it recently. This is the best case scenario for him in terms of matchups for the week, and I'm still like a two on him. I'm probably solid two, maybe below.
Clay and I are often like we're too much alike. I wonder, you know, because I'm with a two as well. I wasn't all that into Brown, and I think you said it exactly. It wasn't so much not into Hunter Brown; it was at the price. The market liked Hunter Brown, and I was just a little bit skeptical.
Right. Thought he'd be better than this for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, that one outing is going to sting for a while, but even so, it's not like Bailey Ober, who had that one outing, has been pretty darn good. Ever since. Brown's had a couple of mishaps along the way. Daniel Lynch, we haven't listed. Has he been called up? Are we expecting him to be called up?
So they're in that situation with it's Alex Marsh was a line for the two starts.
Right.
He's hurt. So we don't know who it's going to be. Lynch is only listed there because they don't really have a great alternative.
Right.
It's an at Toronto and Texas pair for a likely fill-in.
Yeah, I'm a zero. Well, that's without looking to see what Lynch is doing on the farm.
I don't think it makes much of a difference with those matchups. I'd have to see evidence. Zero for me.
Yeah. All right. The Angels, Griffin Canning and Griffin Canning. Let me read the bottom. Home against Philly and at Cleveland.
Yep.
Sometimes I have to remind myself that Angel Stadium is not the pitching park that it's
correct.
That it sometimes thinks people think it is.
Correct. And especially for lefty power and the Phillies have it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like Canning as a pitcher, Not impressed by the returns so far. This is a keep on my bench, evaluate for future fantasy utility. And another one who grades at about the two level. I might go 2.5 on him, but he's a probable two.
Yeah, and I kind of, if you're not going to start him during a two-star week, why is he on your roster? He kind of could be that exception. Although, yeah. I mean, I also think that Cleveland's a little over their skis right now. I'm going to go one. I don't know. I'm just going to go one. Just, we got to be different somewhere. James Paxton at Arizona and home against the Braves.
And in this case, because of what we talked about with six-man rotations, they're guaranteed six-man with Yamamoto going Wednesday. So I'm not positive Paxton's on the Monday game. They Walker Buehler will be back. There's some question about whether Paxton makes two starts.
Yeah. Well, if he only makes, you know, if you put him in there, you got Arizona. Well,
yeah.
We'll know by Sunday. I think the thing with Buehler is he was good but not great during his rehab start yesterday.
Right.
He's up to 85 pitches, which, okay, but I think they maybe let's get him more effective. But on the other hand, I may or may not just written this for ESPN. On the other hand, it was in Albuquerque.
Right.
So yep. You care more about 85 pitches and 94 miles an hour. Or that he gave up seven hits and four runs, or whatever it was.
Right.
I think, you know, so I think that's a good decision.
Velocity and pitch count were what counted. What I'm concerned in his case is also, by the way, I don't remember when his stint expires. You have a cap on the number of days for the rehab stint. The concern I have with Paxton against Arizona is that Arizona crushes lefties, doesn't hit righties for the life of it. That's because Corbin Carroll's struggling. It's going to change. They'll be better against righties soon. But I give that at best a two, just because I think it might be your only start for Paxton.
Yeah. That's a weird, because the Red Sox for years were, you'd think they'd be great against lefties, but they weren't. They were just so right-handed. Left-handed splits are so, they can change in a dime. You know, even midway through the year, I don't know that I believe left-handed splits.
They just have an awful lot of righties who can counter and match up in the lineup. That's,
you know, we got Miami, and we mentioned Lizardo's out. We still have him in there. He could be not in there by Sunday. We have more may have more information. It does look like Trevor Rogers is going to get a start. So we'll go with Rod. I mean, Lizardo home against Colorado and at Oakland. There's not a better matchup than being a lefty against Colorado.
Right.
Historically, so I think
away from them away from Coors too.
Right. Oh, definitely away from course. If you only wager against using a left-handed starter at home against the Rockies, you'd be plus right now. It's just, and I know it's a different team every year, but it's just one of those weird things. I'm using him, I'm going to give Lozado, I can't give him a five. I'm going to give him a four if he does start.
And if he doesn't, by the way, Braxton Garrett keep tucked away. It is a possibility he gets activated for that.
He can get moved up.
By the way, Rogers for me is a four. I like these matchups that much.
Yeah, I do too. Especially like we just said, lefty against the Rockies is always a good thing. Milwaukee. So we've got Bryce Wilson twice. That got to be as an opener, I would think.
No, I think they've stretched him out a little bit.
Or piggyback situation, maybe. Home against Tampa at the Cubs.
They're another team that goes historically six man, but they're because of the injuries, they're running on 4 days rest for this weekend stretch. Not confident in the two starts for anybody necessarily. Wilson's kind of a one for me. I just don't think there's volume.
No, exactly. I mean, we don't know who's closing, but we know they have a good bullpen. So I don't think they'll force Wilson to go too far in. Joe Ryan at the White Sox, home against Boston. Don't love the matchups, but Ryan's missing bats.
You don't love the matchups?
Well, I like half of the matchups.
Right, exactly. And that's what makes it. He's a five for me.
He's a five anyway. Yeah. He's had at least one blip, but he's still been pretty good. And in a year where injuries and performance, I mean, Ryan's done what he's supposed to do. I think it's fine. Mets, Severino, Luis Severino, home against the Cubs and on the road against Tampa and Shamania with the same matchups.
Yeah, and Severino's been pretty decent so far. And I, you know, I watch a little bit of him during spring training. He's showing similar signs to that. On the whole, positive for him. Pretty positive, I'd say, for Manaea as well. I'd give, would I go to four on the two of them? I'd probably go four in Severino and three on Manaea.
I'm going three and two. I like what I'm seeing from Severino, for sure. But the Cubs are a little bit dangerous. A little bit. Pico Armstrong, we'll see how much he lasts. I mean, Bellinger may come back as a first baseman. We don't know right now.
Revenge game for Crow Armstrong, isn't it?
Well, there we go. But Minaya, he should be better. I've been saying that for 3 years.
Minaya is one of those who is going to be more attractive for points than for Roto in this
case. All right. So the Yankees, Clark Schmidt on the road against Baltimore, home against the Tigers, and Nestor Cortes with the same pair.
Cortes looked really good at home until that game yesterday.
And he looked good early. He just kind of.
Cortes and Rodon have been a little bit, you know, I'm talking pitch by pitch. They've been a little bit up and down, but on the whole positive. I'm just not all in yet. Probably more so in Cortes compared to value. I think I'd give Cortes a four despite the Baltimore matchup. Schmidt's kind of a three for me.
Again,
and I might be a homer here.
I'm 2-3-2-3. That's what I'm about to write down. I'm two for both.
Two for both. Wow. Okay.
Three for Cortes. No. Yeah. Okay. 2-3-2-3 is yeah. So I'm three for Cortes. Joe Boyle, two starts, home against Pittsburgh, home against Miami. He's probably available in a lot of leagues.
Gets Ks.
Gets strikeouts. He can throw the ball through a wall if he can hit the wall. You know, one of those guys.
Points league opportunity. This is probably the most dramatic split between points and Roto. He's projected as the 14th best out of the 29.
To start, you know, I mean, if I need to make up some ground, and I'm not going to make it up otherwise, boy, I don't know that there'll be a better matchup ever. There's just not a lot of two-start matchups of guys available.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh and Miami. I mean, to me, it's a
three and change for me. He's over Feltner.
Yeah, I was going to say, do I go two or three? I'm using him. It's just, where am I actually going to rank him? I'm going to go two, but I'll be up front. I'll picking him up. Right. I'll be using him
on the out there in a large number of leagues. It's Rogers, Boyle, Feltner of the three we've talked about so far.
I mean, I saw Boyle, and it's like, I'm not an expert in this. I don't pretend to be, except I'm about to pretend to be, I guess. There's a lot of moving parts in his motion. Like, you know, just get it under control. Then the next day, Alex Wood pitched. I'm like, oh, well, you know, so much for that advice. Yeah. But on the other hand, Mason Miller was talking about how once he learned to consolidate his motion a bit, he talked about it last night on MLB Network as part of his success. And when he throws a ball 99, it's like, uh-oh, he's losing velocity. It's scary. Billy, Christopher Sanchez. We're going to have to – I got work to do. I know you do too. So let's pick it up a little bit. Christopher Sanchez, home against – or road against the Angels, home against the Giants. I'm at the 5 point for – I know he had a little bit of struggle last time. I'm impressed.
I like that you're a five. I'm thinking, how optimistic should I be here and settling on four? I like the boldness. I think I'm still a four with him. Okay, I need to see consistency start over start.
That's true. But we talked about the right-handed starters struggling and potentially as a lefty. All right. Just keep Trout in the yard and we'll deal with the rest. Mm-hmm. Bailey Falter at Oakland, home against Colorado. Lefty at home against Colorado. We've talked about that.
Yep.
I mean, to me, Clay and I just go zero without even thinking about it. I'm thinking about it now. It's not a zero.
Yeah.
I'm going to go two.
I'm trying to find where exactly he had projected. Did I not have him qualified there? Oh, I know. Okay.
We don't. This is okay.
On the matchups, I'm a three. I'm probably ahead of Boyle with him. Okay. One note on that, because of Jared Jones and Quinn Priester, they have been looking at that six-man rotation when they don't have a day off. They're in that right now, and that could mean everybody gets pushed back another day next week and Falter loses the Colorado matchup. It's possible. I just want that on the radar.
Absolutely possible. Not a lot, you know, it's not as if they have a kid in the farm that can bring up to give him an extra day. I don't know.
I've never heard of that guy.
I don't know if James is listening, but he's like, James has been calling for Skeens' call up forever.
Yep. Probably since the day before he was drafted.
Right. All right. Where were you in number wise with Falter?
Three.
This is a three. Okay.
Yeah. But I like him. That's a pickup opportunity.
You know, he's another guy that I think should be better than he's shown. I see stuff and it just hasn't come through. You can't call Matt Waldron a full-time knuckler, but he throws the knuckleball. Home against the Reds at Arizona.
Yeah, and he made me look bad with my knuckleballers at Coors Field. Yeah, well, which is kind of decent.
Knuckleballers are like, to me, they're all threes. You just deal with it. I'm going to stick with that. I'm just going to say three. I don't hate the matchup.
They're kind of threes, Todd. How I'm going to liken it is, I'll give you a five and he's going to give you a one.
Yeah.
Or I'm giving you a one and he's going to give you a five. Yeah. I did not do well with Tim Wakefield.
Exactly.
I'm with you on your three, air quote three.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun watching L.A. De La Cruz and the knuckleballer. He could swing twice at the same pitch. Okay. That's Seattle. So that has to be Bryce Miller. At home against Atlanta. Oh, this is an interesting pair. Home against Atlanta and at Houston.
Yep.
Where does Mr. Splitty land?
Yeah, and that's exactly what's changed. There's a guy who is what's changed. Matchups aren't great. Didn't have a great last start. I like the guy. I'm a very big Bryce Miller fan based on the adjustments this year. I'd go as far as to give him. I'd give him a four with confidence. The question is, how much further would I go?
Yeah, I know sometimes we say it's worth a five, but I need to. He hasn't earned a five yet, so I'm going with four. That's kind of where I am.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants, maybe this is the pair that the lack of strikeouts catch up to Logan Webb at Boston and at Philly. Surface stats are wonderful, but he's not striking anybody out. And I know he doesn't strike a ton of batters out, but it's even fewer than he usually does.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the pair where maybe things catch up? I'm using them, you know, got to use them.
Possible. The projections hate the Boston, hate the Boston matchup, which means I think he's more problematic in points than Roto. I can't believe I'm giving Logan Webb a four, because in the preseason I'd say, you got a two-star week, he's an automatic five, but I think he is a four.
I think the lack of strikeouts bring him to a four for me. And I don't know if there was anybody higher on Logan Webb than I was, at least for fantasy purposes, but I have a soft spot for, maybe it's because we're too NFP, or I'm too NFP centric or whatever, the market, they just overpay for strikeouts. And I'll take the ratio guy that doesn't get quite as many strikeouts and find my strikeouts later.
Or you just draft the whole Twins rotation.
Yeah, there we go. But yet, for whatever reason, the market loved George Kirby, and he's in that low strikeout range. But anyway, Steven Matz at Detroit and then home against the White Sox.
I'm not. You like half those matchups?
Yeah, I'm not a Matz guy. I'm not a Matz guy. I'm going to go two, but I don't know.
I'm a big jerk who has never liked Steven Matz. I just don't see it. I've never seen it. I might have the first year because everybody was all excited as a prospect. I keep telling people, pick your prospects, not me. But I like the matchups. And because of the matchups, I'd give him a 3.
Okay. Ryan Pepio at Milwaukee and home against the Mets. Don't love at Milwaukee, but don't this either. May be like a 3.6, which means I have to round up to 4.
This should probably be one of those money where mouth is, because projections love him and I heart Ryan Pepio.
Yeah.
Hard for me to say 5 there. I'd be happy to give him 4.5.
Okay. The DVR was lenient when I did this years ago with Derek. He was lenient. He was an easy grader. All right, John Gray, home against Washington and at Kansas City. He's been more down than up, but he did have an up stage in the middle, and it's still early, but you gotta like these matchups.
They're very high ceiling roto, not quite to the extent you think points. I'll give them the 4 based on that. Yeah, it would drop a little points.
No, I agree. For sure. Here's one. I mean, we don't know. We don't know about Gausman. We don't know about Rodriguez, who has replaced Bowden in the rotation, who's now on the IL. Another one of my – I like this guy. Probably should have him on my bench, but didn't. And he's on the IL now, so I get to take him out, Francis Bowden. But Yelier Rodriguez, home against KC and at Washington.
Yep.
He's good pair of matchups. I mean, he's at least 5 innings now, right? I would not much more.
Right.
But I think he can give you 5.
It was 69 pitches the last outing. He's been 4 at most in each of the 3 starts. The workload is really what I'm most concerned about here. They're going to keep a tight leash on him. Means he could possibly lose the second start. Probably he's a 3 for me.
I think there's some strikeout potential. I'm going to go 3 as well.
He might be a 2 just based on volume. That's also a points league problem.
Right. Oh, that's true. Okay. I don't know if he's going to be pitching in August, but all we care about is next week.
Right.
If someone's going, should I pick up? You're high on him. Should I pick up Rodriguez? Not if you're in head-to-head league, because he's not going to be with you in a head-to-head league. At least he shouldn't be. All right, one more. We've got, interesting. Jake Irvin at Miami, home against Toronto, and Mackenzie Gore with the same 2. Irvin's on my track list, on my monitor list. He's showing signs, increased velocity, pitch mix a little different. So he's at least my, I want to watch him. Then I think he went out and had a poor outing last time.
Yeah, he did.
But the second one's at home, kind of a sneaky good park against Toronto.
Yep.
I'm at a 2 with Irvin. That may be too optimistic.
It's possible. He projects pretty well because of the Miami matchup in the right park in Miami. He by the way, has crushed my repeat, rematch stats thing, because he got crushed by the Dodgers in the rematch outing. I'd say I think they're probably both 2.5, because I like Gore's matchups less than I like Irvin's.
Actually, Gore's got Texas.
Yeah.
It must be a wraparound, which I'd rather face Miami than Texas.
Oh yeah.
So
I like Gore better as a pitcher of the two of them.
For sure.
But the matchups bring it to about the same, and it's just sub 3 for me.
All right.
2.5.
So go. All right. We'll go 2 and 2.5. All right. We are behind. We will eschew reviewing the picks this time. Apologize for that. We both got to get out of here. And there's a siren coming to get me anyway. As we could do this for hours, and sometimes we do. Just not over the air. Thanks a lot, Tristan, for helping out, for pinch hitting for Clay. I know Clay appreciates it.
My pleasure.
And it's always great catching up. And I'm sure we'll speak soon. Probably not till Monday, but we'll speak soon. And always enjoy talking to you. And thanks. And everybody, thanks for checking it in. And Clay will be back next week, and I'll be back in the other seat. All right, everybody, thanks a lot.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.